Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. This is Lauren, and you are listening to episode 106, Soul Navigation with Deborah J. Kelly. And before we jump into this amazing episode with Deborah, I wanted to remind you guys that Witchy Wellness Radio is sponsored by Living the Good Life Magnesium. If you want to learn more in depth about magnesium and all of its benefits, listen to episode 73, that's 73, with Kristen Bowen. But use the link in the show notes and use code WITCHY, W-I-C-T-H-Y, for 10% off of your purchase. And secondly, I am running a new free masterclass, Flowing from Fear to Freedom, where you guys will learn 3 ways to refocus your anxiety, flow through fear, and actually live your dream life. Use the show notes to register. It is Thursday, August 19th at 7 p.m. EST. I hope to see you guys there. And without further ado, please enjoy episode 106, Soul Navigation with Deborah J. Kelly. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. And this is a show you get to learn how your body and emotions are not in the way, but actually leading the way. And today, our beautiful guest, Deborah J. Kelly from Ireland, across the pond. She is an intuitive coach using astrology, practical tools, and intuitive guidance to show women how to reconnect with their inner wisdom, navigate life with clarity, meaning, and purpose. And she has her own system called the Soul Navigation System with 3 pillars of uncovering the true self, reconnecting with inner wisdom, and interpretation of the world. She shows women how to deprogram and unplug themselves from the constrictions of mainstream BS. We'll get more into that in a little bit. And reclaim their lives and cease the never-ending search for answers outside themselves, spending endless time on money, on courses, on workshops, therapy, only to get back right where they started. And more on Deborah is that she has studied hypnotherapy, Reiki in Ireland, acupuncture in Australia, reflexology in Indonesia, Ayurvedic herbalology and meditation in India, as well as completing an internship in master plants, ethnobotany in Colombia, and an apprenticeship in herbal medicine in Scotland. She does it all, people. Welcome to the show, Deborah. I'm so excited to have you on here today.
Thank you so much. I know it's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. She's packed full of wisdom. We get her for the next hour and to seep up all of this beautiful wisdom and experience she's had. Before we kind of jump in, I would love to hear your own story of how you got to do the work today, and also kind of that getting away from that BS of mainstream and even social media.
So my name is Deborah J from Ireland. So my story, my heroine story, started back in probably around 2015, 2016. So the way I kind of see it is, I feel like as a kid, I was quite awake and open. So I would have lied in bed and asked myself, like, who is this person? And what's the meaning of life? And why are we here? And what does the sound of nothing sound like? You know, so I would have been quite a big thinker, even as a little kid. And then I think somewhere around my kind of teenage years to my early 30s, I just feel like I fell asleep at the wheel of my own life. I feel like I was living the same life as everybody else. I was getting a job and I was like in a relationship and heading towards having a family and buying a house and doing all these things that everybody does because that's what society tells you is normal. And then 2015, Christmas Eve, my dad passed away quite suddenly. And within about 11 months of that, the guy I was going out with for 5.5 years and I was engaged to be married to, we were supposed to get married the following year. It turned out I kind of discovered he was living a double life, and I was really, really totally blown away because I thought we were in a happy relationship together. I thought that everything was going great. And I think because of everything that I uncovered, and I've written a book about it, everything I uncovered basically made me aware of how totally unaware I was. I was like, how could all of this have been going on? And I was completely, totally asleep and unaware of it. So basically my life fell apart, like good old fashioned Hollywood style drama. And I decided to go travel because I obviously cancelled the wedding and headed off. And so the list of bits and pieces that you called out is essentially what happened. I ended up going traveling with a view to escaping. And what happened was completely accidental. I ended up studying different traditional and alternative modalities and therapies in every country I went to. I was just absolutely fascinated by nature and the ability of, you know, there's been so much wisdom that has been passed on through the generations, which has survived. And yet, if we don't preserve it and we don't tap into it personally, each one of us, then we're kind of waiting for somebody else to carry that torch and hope that they pass it on. And it's not really the same as reading in a book. It's, you know, you can, you know, books will survive the years to come, and we can read back on how to be intuitive and how to connect in with our body and how to meditate. But there's nothing like somebody showing you how to do it, because that's how people learned years ago. They sat around a fire in a circle, passed their stories and their knowledge and wisdom on, and we learned from each other in a more tacit kind of way. So this became a really big thing for me. And I think what actually happened was I dropped all the BS. I dropped all the programming. I woke up and realized when I was traveling, when there was nobody else around, I was traveling as a female solo backpacker. And when there was nobody else around to influence me on where to go, what to do, I noticed that I wasn't going to museums. I wasn't going to the main tourist traps. I wasn't doing all the things that really I thought I would have done. I wasn't going out and boozing my night, my drink and money every night. I did some nights, but not every night. And I think what actually happened was I started to see myself, and I was like, wow, look at you. You're actually like more interested in spending money on a course and learning rather than going out and like partying or doing whatever, you know, or climbing a volcano or rambling in the jungle. They were my things. So I just began to get to know myself when I had no other distractions around. And I found since then the times in my life when I felt the most lost, nature has been what has brought me home. And it's looking at the patterns in nature, because human life is chaotic. It's just messy, it's chaotic, it's imperfect, and it's beautiful and it's painful all in one go. And whenever I found that, you know, I struggled a lot with what I called the darkness as a kid. I was very happy on the outside, but I always hated on myself in terms of relationships, and that I was like, you know, I never seemed to be able to get it right, or I always seemed to like hate on myself or the person I was. And I was constantly trying to fix myself, you know, whether it was going to therapy or trying a different course or reading another self-help book or whatever it was. We've all done it. And I'm sure people who are listening to this they're all nodding their heads going, uh-huh, I've done that. And what I discovered when I was traveling and when I was kind of paying more attention to nature was why was I fixing myself so much and not getting a resolution? Every time I was fixing myself, it would feel great going to a workshop and coming out and then being like, yeah. But then inevitably I'd come back to being stuck with myself. And it was really uncomfortable to constantly be stuck with myself and not to be able to escape myself. And when I was traveling, I realized I also wasn't able to escape myself. And my eventual understanding and realization was that there was nothing inside me that needed to be fixed, but there was a lot inside of me that needed to be accepted. And I was trying to mold myself into the shape of the world that I had manifested, that I had attracted into my life. And the reason I attracted all of what I had in my life was because I was unconscious. I didn't know what I wanted. So I attracted all the things I didn't know that I wanted, I thought that I wanted. And that's really what happened, you know. So when I began to see who I really was, I began to see how much horrendous pain I was in. so often in the quiet of my room in the fetal position, you know, snotty tear fest into a pillow and pleading with God and the universe and anybody else who might be able to come and sweep me up and help me. And then I began to realize that, you know, I have to help myself because nobody's coming to help me. And that was really hard. It was really, really hard. But also, as I said, looking at nature, looking at the patterns in nature, I began to realize there was so much in my life that was not organic. And I was doing what I thought was meant to be of me. I was doing all the things that the world expected. And when I began to see who I was, I shed all these layers of expectation because I was able to, because I now could see, you know, trying to be this person or that person, the chameleon, the easygoing, oh, I don't mind, I'll do whatever kind of person. It wasn't suiting me. That's what was actually causing me the pain. So that's essentially where my journey began. I began realizing that I needed to stop fixing myself and I needed to start accepting myself. So I, over a period of time, started to develop my own system that worked for me. And then this is what I share with my soul navigation. So the first pillar in soul navigation, as you've said, is to stop rejecting yourself, stop trying to fix yourself and actively accept yourself. Because when you do that, the resistance is so much less strong and you can actually integrate a huge amount of those parts of you that you felt have been broken or wrong or not right, or they don't fit in some way. And suddenly when you drop that, the baggage that you've been carrying for years, when you drop that, the release is incredible. And what usually happens is we start to see the people in our life that we attracted that, you know, weren't in alignment with us, and people will fall away. And when you're okay with yourself, then it's also okay to let those relationships go. Or equally, what will happen is the people around you will start to raise up to meet you where you're at. And so you become this more authentic version of yourself. So when that happens, the second pillar of soul navigation is all about reconnecting with your inner wisdom. So I think a lot of the pain of the world is the fact that we don't know who we are. And when we don't know who we are, we're disconnected from ourselves. And when we're disconnected from ourselves, we're disconnected from our inner wisdom, our intuition, and we're out of alignment with ourselves. And so that being the second pillar, when we begin to face ourselves and begin to know ourselves, and I use astrology as a means of being able to help people see who they are and who they're not, kind of cut away the fuzz. It leads you on to automatically beginning to reconnect with your inner wisdom. And there's a level of trust and rapport that needs to be built up there, because most of us don't have that already. It's there, but we've rejected it. And so like somebody who's been hurt and offended and that we've rejected, we now need to bring that back into our life and build up that energetic trust and rapport with that part of ourselves. And when we do that, oh my God, years of therapy, like loads of things are just going to bubble up and you'll be able to release so much. And it's not all scary. I think sometimes when we're doing this work, you know, we're afraid in case something crazy is going to come up. And most of the time it's mundane. It's really mundane stuff. But it hurt us a lot in our childhood because we couldn't understand it. We didn't have the emotional understanding to deal with it then. The third part of what I do in the soul navigation system is interpreting our world. I feel personally, because when you don't understand why you're here, what you're doing, what your mission is, what your purpose is, you also don't know how to connect with other people in a meaningful way that's you know, when you know who you are, then you don't fear other people taking your identity away because you know who you are and they can't take anything from you. So when you do that, then you begin to be able to interpret your world as repetitive patterns, repetitive people coming into your life, repetitive events happening over and over again. They're signposts telling you how to come home to yourself. There's gold in that big argument that you just had with your partner. There is gold to be found. But that's great me saying it and it's all very buzzy. But how do you get in at that? Well, you get to know yourself. You reconnect with your inner wisdom and then you learn how to interpret your world. And when you learn how to interpret your world and see these things as signposts, now when you have something really big happen and you're really frustrated, yes, you're going to be disempowered. Yes, you're going to be frustrated because you're human, but your reaction time becomes less. And now you know how to handle it. And you can turn it on its head and see the opportunity rather than the challenge. And so that's essentially what I do. It's a long answer for you.
Well, it's beautiful. I was like, sign me up for one of those sessions. And I think you know, our stories are similar in the sense of that a relationship was a huge wake-up call for us. And, you know, I've always been into those kind of things. But then when you get knocked down like that, you really have to take it into consideration and check yourself. Like, okay, if I truly believe of law of attraction, I truly believe all of this stuff, I have to take responsibility for creating where I am right now. Not because I'm a bad person, but what brought me to this? What do I need to accept about myself and release? And I love your story and I love how you integrate that into your system. And I also am I'm more of an armchair astrologist. I love getting reading, you know, and I love reading everything else. But can we take a second to talk a little bit why that is so important? It is such a deep dive, or give, it's almost like I don't know, like clue cards into your life and your experience. But also, why is it so much more than your sun sign? Because most people just read the, you know, newspaper horoscopes.
Yeah. Like, I fully believe, and I feel it so much now, that if you want answers, look at nature, right? And astrology, whether we want to understand it or not, and it's a complex scientific subject, and I know some people don't see it as a science, but I would like you to analyze it, go through it and learn it and tell me it's not. But when we look at it, it's looking at patterns in nature. It's looking at the energies of things in nature. And it's looking at so above, as above, so below. You know, it's looking at the mirroring of how that works. You look at animals or plants or soil or, you know, the weather. They all have patterns. They all have energetic patterns to them. And humans really are no different. We're just so switched off and following the train tracks of the external world that we're in, telling us who we are, who to be, how to be it. You know, if we look at nature, you know, birds don't sit in a tree and go, how do I fly out of this nest? Is there a course on this? Maybe I could go speak to a guru first. You know, they just instinctually know. And we have that instinct. We just need to know how to tap into it. And so astrology for me, I'm a very practical person. Love all the, I know this woo-woo word is a terrible word. I love all the spiritual side of things, but I'm also a very practical person. And there's a bridge that needs to happen between the hippie world and the business world, where there's like this bridge needs to happen to allow both sides to come over and meet in the middle. And I kind of feel like one of those bridges. And astrology for me is something that can be seen as very woo-woo, but actually when you make it practical, you can see how beneficial it would be. Even in a school system, it would be crazy beneficial. So we are, you know, yes, our sun sign is what we read in the back of a newspaper, but we're also every single other sign. We're also every single other planet. And then we have what we call houses in astrology as well. So the zodiac signs, there's 12 of them in total. And then you've got each of the planets could be sitting anywhere in that chart. And it's hard to show without a chart in front of us here now. But, you know, your energy could be very similar to mine in terms of, say, business. And then when we look at the friendship house, it could be completely different. Or when we look at the home house, it could be completely different. And when I'm doing chart readings for people or soul navigation sessions, what I see so often in the first 5 or 10 minutes of doing a session, and all we've done is looked at the modes, the polarities and the elements, not even getting into the astrology, within the first 5-10 minutes, people are like, oh, that's why I'm like that. Or, oh, I didn't realize, you know, I'm really good at starting things and not so good at finishing them. And, you know, Mary down the road is so good and she really has her stuff together. And I wish I was more like her. You're not going to be like Mary, because Mary probably has more fire in her chart and you probably have less fire in your chart. So if we're going around trying to fix these parts of ourselves and be a better person, because in the world that we're trying to compete in, we need to be more constantly proactive. We need to be more of a leader. But maybe you're not a leader. Maybe you're the person who gets the stuff done, because most leaders will be people who will be really good at initiating. They'll have a lot of what we call cardinal energy, a lot of fire energy, but maybe they don't have what it takes to go the distance. So when you're looking at somebody to go the distance, you want somebody with more fixed energy, somebody who's more earth energy, who is a lot more practical and like interested in getting the job done, you know, or maybe you need somebody who's a lot more mutable and creative and isn't so offended when the project wasn't done on time, but they had this really good idea and that's the reason it didn't get done. So when we're looking at a birth chart, really what I do in soul navigation, it's not, I don't do predictive astrology or transits. I literally focus on the person, the birth chart, the moment that they were born, where the planets were, where their houses are, what areas of life are most important for them. And it can solve a lot of riddles and problems. You know, a lot of people come to me and they're like, oh, I need this career. And, you know, I just, you know, really, really frustrated because I don't want to be doing this. And I want to have my own career and be my own boss. And if you look at their chart, the reason they're struggling is because that's not an active part that's highlighted in their chart. It doesn't mean that they can't have it. It just means that they may well actually be more needed to be at home in this lifetime. And I've done charts for people where that has been the case, where I've had business women who their home part of the chart is lit up. And they've said to me, oh my God, I feel so much relief and so much less stressed because now I understand why I've been more drawn to being at home. And I'm trying to push towards a career and it doesn't ever work for me and it's not feeling right for me and I feel guilty about it. And when I tell them, no, you're actually more at home, the weight gets lifted off them. And most people know what they want. Most people know what they need, but they're trying to live up to society's expectations or this world that they've created and manifested. They're trying to live up to what they think is meant to happen versus what they feel is meant to happen. And what this reading basically does is helps them to reconnect in with their inner wisdom because they'll go, oh, I knew that's what I was meant to be doing. Or I've always been drawn towards that. Now you're lighting up your intuition. Now you're connecting in with your intuition. And now you can feel what it feels like. And then we work with that, basically.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. I know my partner, when we first started dating, I was like, so what time were you born? Where were you born? You know, that kind of stuff. Well, that was 4 years ago. But anyway, it's, you know, it really is a picture into what energies, you know, depending on your belief and what I believe, you chose to come into this world at a specific mm-hmm. time in a specific mm-hmm. place because these energies were present and influencing you mm-hmm. to learn, you know, where you want to start off learning or, you know, who you are in this lifetime. And it's not, you know, I love how you just focus on that and not transits or anything predictive because it's just another way to accept yourself, to love yourself, just like you were saying.
And the thing is really what it does is it lifts the weight of guilt off people's shoulders. Like, it's incredible the amount of guilt that it takes off people's shoulders for them and the permission that it gives them to themselves to be the person who they were always meant to be. And life will always work out so much better for you if you're in alignment with yourself. And this is why I say interpretation of your world is so important, because when we're pushing really hard against something and it's not happening for us, we have to question, why is it not happening? Is it not happening because it's uncomfortable and I don't want to go there, but I kind of feel like I should be doing it? That's okay. But am I pushing against it and nothing's happening and bad things keep happening or the same events keep happening or the same triggers keep coming up over and over again? And that's the time that you question, what's happening? What is this resistance that I'm meeting? Is the resistance that I'm meeting that I don't want to do this anyway, but I feel like I'm supposed to be because I don't know what else to do? And that's not really how the universe works. The universe goes, hey, see this resistance, start questioning it, turn around and face yourself. And quite often it's asking you to do the work on yourself. And, you know, that's not, I always say all the shadow work and working on yourself, it's not easy, but it's simple. Do you know, it's a simple process, but it's not always easy. And it takes time. But the more you do it, it's like a muscle. The more you work on yourself and the more you show up for yourself, and that goes back into reconnecting with your inner wisdom. It's about showing up, like reconnecting with your inner wisdom. What does that mean? It means show up for yourself in the same way that you would show up for a friend. If you met somebody in a car park, outside a, you know, supermarket, you're not going to go over to them and tell them your life story and offer up all the most vulnerable bits of information you've ever had. And so your energetic self is protecting you from all that vulnerable information, because there's a reason that it's hidden from you. There's a reason it's not accessible, because your energetic self doesn't feel like you can handle it yet. So you need to show up for your energetic self and show that you're going to show up and that you know how to handle it and that you are in charge now. And we do that by self-inquiry. We do that by tapping into our feelings and emotions. You know, we all know when our partner is tired or cranky and hasn't eaten, had a bad day at work, is stressed, fell out with their parents, whatever it is. But how do we react personally? And where in our body do we feel it? And is it obvious to us? And if it's not, then can you go there? Can you sit with yourself and get closer to that? Because it's uncomfortable. The first time you do this, you know, we're so quick to hand away our excitement. Oh my God, this amazing thing happened. Or we're so quick to hand away our anger. Oh, I can't believe this person did this thing for me or did this thing to me. How often do we just sit there and marinate in that emotion and feel into our body? Where do you feel that excitement? Where do you feel that anger? And get to know yourself so that when you're in a whirlwind of emotions, when something, some big event happens and you've got all these emotions going on, you don't really know what's going on. Now you can go, oh, well, that normally happens like in the left side near my belly button. And now I know that that's more to do with rejection. So now I know I feel rejected. Get to know your own emotions, you know?
So important, because I think, and just as we have to accept ourselves, we also have to accept our emotions.
Yes.
And I feel, I don't, maybe I'm not alone in this. It was like growing up, it's like you can, don't feel too bad, don't feel too angry, or don't feel too happy. You had this kind of middle ground. And yeah, nobody wants to feel depressed all the time. Nobody wants to feel angry all the time. But when you sit with it, and like you just said beautifully, and uncover where is that coming from? What is it? Was it rejection, or my needs not being met? What's really underneath that messenger that is an emotion, whether it's anger or total bliss? What's coming up? I think it's so important. We don't give our emotions, I think. And that's why the show, the tagline is your body and emotions are in the way, not leading your, or not in the way, leading the way, sorry. Yeah. because they're messengers. Yeah. That nothing more than that.
And this is the thing, I think, and I'm always saying this, you know, in the world of personal growth, development, the spiritual or kind of spirituality world, and I know anybody who hears this, who's heard me before, will know I'm always saying it. You know, if we were meant to go around with perma smiles tattooed onto our face and hovering 3 foot off the ground in a floaty dress waving around feathers, then that would be amazing, right? But we have human bodies, we have physical bodies. Our physical bodies, the aim is not to get rid of them so we can transcend up into the fifth dimension and not have the body. The aim is to use our body. The aim is to use our body as a tool and a portal to the higher energy, that higher vibration, that higher frequency, that, and all that higher vibration and frequency is for people who, you know, I hate all these buzzwords. And part of what I want to do is take all the buzz out of it. Literally, we're humans. Like, you know, this magical, mystical thing, it's not, you know, it's happening in front of you. Stop looking for it. You know, it's magic that the world exists all by itself. So what more do you want? And I've had to learn that for myself, you know. So I totally understand this. But our bodies are meant to be used as tools. So how can you use your body as a tool? You can notice the sensations. What disharmony or dis-ease do you have in your body? Like I've got eczema. And I'm going to do a video about this in my membership at a later stage. But I broke out all over in like loads of kind of rashes when I was dating. And it was because I wasn't listening to my body, and my body was telling me that I felt invaded. My boundaries weren't being protected. I wasn't listening to myself. So my body shouted at me and went, hey, pay attention. And it took me a long time to come to that. When I was you know, one of my first relationships, and I hope I can say this on here, one of my first relationships, every time we had sex, I would have these eye explosions. I would literally have these physical eye allergies and reactions. My next relationship, the one where I realized he was living a double life, My body, I had bowel incontinence. I had a horrendous fear of sex. I developed a horrendous fear of sex out of nowhere. And I had to go get acupuncture and therapy. And I was doing everything I could to get rid of it. But what I didn't know was my body was communicating with me that there's something going on. Listen to me. There's something going on. And I just never listened because I didn't know. I lived in a very 3D, normal, you know, 9-to-5 world of normalness and whatever. I didn't know, oh, my body is telling me that, you know, it's trying to tell me that you're being cheated on and don't sleep with this guy because he's going out doing all crazy stuff with other people. That was my body was protecting me. So on this occasion, when I was dating, I was like, oh, okay, my body is not happy, you know. And for the first time, I trust my intuition, and my intuition has been pretty spot on. And the more my intuition is something I've had to cultivate and develop. It's something that I've had to really learn to trust again, because I didn't trust it for a long time. I learned very early in life not to trust my intuition. And now that I trust my intuition, it's incredible what happens and unfolds. And that's what I want to teach other people how to do. I want to show other people how to step away from the expectations of the world, become themselves, come home to themselves, and use all of nature's maps and all of the natural tools that are available to you, like the bird in the tree with the tacit knowledge that's being passed on, the instinctual intuitive knowledge that's ready to be picked up by you. You just need to slow down and know how to see it. So my job is to be able to show people how to see it, you know, in a very practical way.
Yes, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I know. But I laugh because my experience was very similar. I've talked about it on and off, but yeah, my body, I would literally be screaming at my body, could you just act normal? Could you just shut up? Really? And it took me a while after that past relationship to forgive myself and like, wow, that is a huge thing we need to accept and look into. But same thing, I had chronic yeast infections, chronic UTIs, never had them ever in my life. And those things are uncomfortable just as much as what you were saying with your different symptoms. But within 2 weeks after drawing this line in the sand, leaving and saying I'm done, no symptoms again.
Yeah.
It's been over 5-6 years.
Yeah. Longer now. It's incredible how our body, and it's beautiful because it's like there's two, well, I think there's loads of parts of us, you know, it's not just two parts of it, but it's amazing how our body is literally like, hey, pay attention to me. And it whispers and it pulls at our leg and it's like, pay attention, you know, it's like it screams, the volume goes up on it. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I like what you said. I think for me, I now have a better perspective. I catch myself now most of the time quicker, because that, for lack of a better term, awakening experience was the relationship dynamics and personality was something that was kept coming into my life through different types of relationships since I was a child. And it took this huge dramatic show to be like, hey, and my body screaming, hey, for me to realize it. And then retrospectively, I can say, okay, wow, I saw this similar energy in this person and that person and this person all through my lifetime. What is this coming to show me? Why is this type of personality coming into my life? What do I need to heal? What do I need to accept? And a lot of it was claiming my own power. I think for a lot of women, just like both of us in your stories, we're waking up to the fact of like, I don't want to have the 9-to-5 every day. Maybe I don't want to have a family, and that's okay too. And just being able to explore these different things of what we should be doing versus what we want to do. And at the end of the day, if you want to have a family, great, but it be on your terms and what you want, or, you know, X, Y, Z. And it's scary for some women to even think that way.
Yeah. And I think as well, like, I was always somebody who wanted kids. I just, as a, you know, when I was younger, I couldn't perceive of a life without kids. And then when all that happened to me, I was like, oh my God, I'm so glad I didn't have kids, because that would have been a mess. Now I'm like, do you know what? I am contented by myself. For me, I feel my And I feel really in tune with this as well. Like, I feel my mission in this lifetime, I have Chiron, the wounded healer, for anybody who wants to know, in the seventh house of relationships. And I have my North Node in the seventh house of relationships. So for me, it's like, okay. And the ruler of that is in my 10th house. So for me, I know it's connected to my career. But I feel that it's much more important for me in this lifetime to heal my relationship with relationships, and to peel away that baggage for my own bloodline flow, like for my own ancestral line of maybe others who were, like, I was abused when I was 4. So for other people in my bloodline who have gone through similar things and maybe never been able to vocalize it or heal it, for me, if I can heal it, then going forward, it doesn't have to happen. And I don't know whether I'll have kids or not, but I definitely feel relationships are what's missing in the world. Healthy relationships and being role models for relationships, I think, is what's missing in the world. So for me, my legacy, I don't know whether it will be children or not, but I actually, I'm okay one way or the other. But for me, it's much more about a relationship. And I would, you know, strive to be in a relationship that becomes a role, not role model in an egotistical way, but the dynamics of it, that I can figure it out enough to be able to share that with other people. That's, I know that that's where I'm going eventually. It's a long way away, but yeah. So for me, having kids, not having kids, it's just part of my life. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I'm on the exact same page here. And I think that is so important. And being in a healthy relationship now, my perspective was like, oh, it's just going to be rainbows and butterflies. We'll be fine. Not the case, right? And that's so naive of me to think. And especially with COVID and all the shutdowns, like, we really, each individually, but as a couple, really had to take this deep dive into our mm-hmm. beliefs and our, you know, our perceptions even more. And like, we're very in tune to that world. And long story short, it's a blessing, right? But to be able to hold that container, and we're both the type of people to be like, okay, we don't want some surface level relationship that does not work for us, but we need to show up individually to be able to show up, you know, as this partnership, as this collective. And, you know, just like doing soul navigation work, you have to do that work for yourself, but also as this container that is a partnership. And kudos to everybody who's single, everybody who's in a relationship, because it's a container for growth. Is what the relationship is. And it's beautiful, because for the first time we're both in a healthy relationship where this growth can be held
by both of you by the sounds of it. Do you know, it's lovely. Yeah. It's so lovely to do this work by yourself, but even more beautiful that when you don't need somebody else to be able to step into a relationship where you can continue doing that growth as both yourself, but also as the relationship. Like, in our own lives aren't straightforward. So why would we expect a relationship to be straightforward? You know, and the same pain and growth that we go through personally then is almost mirrored, you know, of something that you need to go through in a relationship as well. And I think that we, you know, like attracts like, if you want to talk about law of attraction, which I think needs some tweaking personally. I think there's some hidden agendas with that as well. But anyway, I won't go there. But with law of attraction, yes, it's, you know, you get what you're resonating with. But if you don't know yourself, how can you attract somebody who's in alignment with who you are? You just can't. And what you do is you keep attracting people who will constantly test and push you to heal the parts of yourself which awaken you to yourself. And when you awaken yourself to yourself, you'll find that you don't need that person anymore or those relationships anymore. The universe doesn't need to keep giving you pop quizzes with people who aren't right for you if you've done the work. Because the only reason you keep meeting these people is because they're signposts. But if you're going in the right direction, you don't need that signpost anymore. So you can keep, you know, I kind of see the universe giving you little pop quizzes. It's like, have you really got it? You're saying you've got it, but can you really spot the red flags? And when you can, then it's like, you know, pass, go, collect $100, move on, you know?
Beautifully said. And I will say, if you are in a relationship to think I hear what you're saying, but equally, it doesn't mean that the relationship needs to be
no, over God, no.
If something pops up. Because for me, going through the, you know, the signpost again and again, it took me a long time to realize that I had this, I created this new false belief. Oh my gosh, something popped up. Oh, does this mean everything's, you know, over? Yeah. No, tune in. You know, where is that coming from? You know, is that coming from a false belief? Is that really coming from your intuition?
And I think I always liken it to like the tuning fork, you know, for anybody who is listening and not watching, I'm holding like two fingers up like a tuning fork. But tuning forks, when you hit one, it resonates at a particular pitch and frequency. Now, if you hold another tuning fork up to it and don't even touch it, eventually it'll start resonating at the same pitch and frequency as the other tuning fork without even touching it. So the way I kind of see humans, and again, we're looking at nature and then, you know, layering that over the human experience. And if we look at that in the human experience, when you raise your vibration, when you heal the things that need to be healed, when you become more self-aware of the things that were previously unconscious, you yourself raise your own vibration and frequency in alignment with where you're supposed to be, in more harmony. So you don't need to attract disharmonious sounds. You keep attracting more harmonious sounds, or the people who are in your life will start to resonate at those pitches and frequencies. So my own experience is, either the people who aren't ready to raise up to that same frequency and meet you where you're at, they will fall away. And then the people who are ready, those who are in your life, you're actually helping them to raise up to that frequency and pitch all by itself, you know, by you doing the work on yourself.
Beautifully said. Yeah, that's perfectly. That's how I view it as well. Before we start to kind of wrap up the show, I know we talked about, you know, three pillars of the soul navigation sessions and astrology. But if somebody who is like tuned into this and is like, yes, what Deborah is saying is what I'm feeling, what all entails a soul navigation session? And is there other ways to work with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I do a couple of different options. So anybody who's curious and they're not really sure, or they just want to test the waters and see what it's like, I do a 30-minute session. And it's basically uncovering the mysteries of your birth chart. It's just looking at your birth chart and kind of giving you a flavor for what we can look at. I mainly do their 2-hour soul navigation sessions. They're very intense. there is a lot of information, and you know, I've yet to see anybody leave a session not being like, wow, okay, now I've got it. So normally I do those as standalone options. So the soul navigation 2-hour session will look at, you know, who you are, why you're here, what your purpose is, what your challenges are. We look at the different strengths, or the different, not weaknesses, but the different kind of more challenging areas in your life. We look at things like repetitive patterns that keep coming up, and then how can we interpret them to make more sense of them in your daily life. So after a 2-hour session, most people will then go on to do coaching, because I think it's great to go off to a psychic and go off to astrology and go off to a tarot reader and go off to, whatever crystal, somebody works with crystals or angels or whatever modality. And that's great. But what are you supposed to do with that information afterwards? So for me, I was like, it's a no-brainer, do coaching, you know, take all that information, see what the person wants, and let's coach with that. So the coaching part is where we utilize the 3 pillars of soul navigation. I normally do it over a period of 6 weeks. And then people, if they want to do follow-on sessions after that over a period of time, I find is the better way. Because I'm not into doing, you know, keeping people hanging on for ages. They just need to learn the pillars so that they can implement themselves. And then as time goes on, they come back to me and be like, oh, I'm doing this, or how can I tweak that? You know, so that's basically what I do.
Amazing. And I want to just do a PSA. Deborah is completely off social media right now and no website, but I think eventually it's going to be redone. Could you give us a little breakdown of how we can get in contact with you?
Yeah. So what I'm doing at the moment, I was all over social media and I was getting burnt out with it because I myself was following the external world and what I was being told to do. And I wasn't in alignment with myself. You know, I mean, I need to be able to walk my own walk and talk my own talk. And like, just because you're on this journey, it doesn't mean that you don't fall off the wagon. And like, I'm constantly learning myself. So I decided from, I think it was June till September, I'm unplugging from mainstream. to basically do pair everything back and make it more personalized. So when I'm working with somebody, I'm going to have a membership. I don't have it yet. I'll have it hopefully in September, where people can come watch my videos. It'll be a lot of deep work. Like I don't do shallow. I'm very deep, very practical, very intensive work that I do. But it's very informative, and it's very accessible. I'm Virgo sun, Scorpio rising, and Aries moon. So I like everything to be very practical. So at the moment, you can connect with me on deborahjsoulnavigation@gmail.com. And then from there on, come September, the websites and the social media and the whole lot will be back up and running. But for now, until I finish this experiment, we'll see how it goes.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yes, thank you for explaining, because I know, you know, I definitely want to get my own soul navigation session. But anybody who wants one, we'll have the email in the show notes. And then this episode will be airing end of July of this year. So make sure you check back in September to see, hopefully, the new membership. Yeah. Website up, yeah, and running.
Absolutely. Like, drop me an email and I can add you onto the newsletter. And like, come September, it'll be deborahjkelly.com. It'll be very simple. But yeah, for the moment, just email.
Cool. Well, thank you, Deborah, again for coming on. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about or close before we end the show?
No,
today?
I look, my mission here is essentially to help people come home to themselves. That's what it is. If you're frustrated, if you're irritated, if you're depressed, if you're anxious, if you're feeling lost, if you're looking for your purpose, if you're searching for meaning, if you're not sure what career direction you're supposed to be going in, if you're having problems at home, whatever it is, most of it is caused, if not all of it, is caused by the very fact that you don't know yourself well enough yet. This sounds like a very big claim, but this is actually what's happening for a lot of people. They don't know themselves yet. They're not connected with their inner wisdom, and they don't know how to interpret their environment and their experiences. And when we do that work, it's just incredible. You'll have the life that you've dreamt of. I thought I was on factory default settings. I thought I was the most broken person ever. I was like, this will never work for me. Anything I did, nothing stuck, nothing worked. And I always said, if I can figure this out, anybody can do it. I'm just small country gal from, you know, the back end of Ireland somewhere. I'm very ordinary and very, very normal. But my journey has been one that's there to be able to show other people, and to do it in a practical way. No woo-woo, all practical.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. And thank you for showing up today with your wisdom and your practicality, with a little woo-woo. With little woo-woo,
oh,
okay.
Tons of woo-woo. It's just practical woo-woo, practical spirituality.
Yes, yes. And I always end the show with, how may we, the listeners, as an act of gratitude, be of service for you in return today?
For me personally, I love being asked questions. When I have, I operate on feedback, and how I know to serve is, you know, what are people struggling with? What is it that you need help with? What is it that you need answers to? You know, my aim and mission is to answer those and to do videos based on that. If I know what people are looking for, then I can do videos based on that. I can offer information, put out courses, whatever it is. So ask me questions. If you have something that you're not sure on, if you're not even sure what I'm talking about and you have a question, email me.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for your time and energy today. It was such a pleasure.
Thank you so much. I'm really grateful. It's lovely.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.